Hello, everyone. Welcome to Marvel Multiverse Mondays, this Monday, or whatever day you are listening in the future. I am Nick, and I am joined by...
Kyle.
Kyle. Surprise. Oh, yeah. Kyle. Hate you, Kyle.
No, you know, funny story. He talk about bullying and things like that, which is...
I don't like bullies, no matter where they come from.
quite the appropriate thing. I was an army brat, right? And my dad got stationed in Germany, and then while we were there, Desert Storm, Desert Shield kicked off, and he sent us back to the States just in case. He's infantry and going to, you know, war. So yeah. It's like, if something happens, I want you around family and not, you know, in a foreign country by yourself. And so he sends us to my grandparents, my mom's parents in southern rural Arkansas. In my life so far as I like know, like can remember, I've known army at, Fort Lewis, Washington. I can remember most of that, which is Tacoma, Seattle, and then Germany. And then I get to this Arkansas place, and I've never heard southern accents like I heard there. And someone was saying my name, Kyle, but I thought they were calling me a cow.
Cow.
And I jumped a poor kid because of it.
Oh, God. You monster.
I know.
So you're the bully in this story. You were calling you a cow.
We were both bullies. Mm. I'm still blaming him for having such terrible accent. No, I'm joking.
Learn how to speak real English, y'all.
Good.
All right.
Go ahead, Nick.
We are here for the second show from Marvel Studios for Disney Plus. Falcon and the Winter Soldier. The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yes.
The continuation of the Captain America saga in a completely different direction than WandaVision. This is obviously going to be a more Easter egg heavy analysis, I think, of the show for the most point, because there are speculation, but this isn't a mystery show per se.
Yeah.
I definitely have speculation, including I already found our Mephisto for the show that we'll be arguing about until we see him or not. I do want to point out, like really early on in the show, people are kind of having a bad reaction, you know, to like people were like, oh, it's Mephisto everywhere. You know, that's how this shit works. Okay. And even though there are going to be name drops that don't turn into anything, Marvel does that all the time. You look at the Sam Raimi movies, they name drop Doctor Strange, which they're never going to use. They name drop Eddie Brock to like 6 years before they ever had planned. Like Sam Raimi was never going to use Eddie Brock, and he still name drops him because he hates Venom. It's just they changed the name of Harry Osborn's secretary in Amazing Spider-Man 2 to Felicia Hardy just in case. And like, so there's a lot, and the bus driver in Spider-Man Far From Home is the same name as the Chameleon from the comics. So just because someone has the same name doesn't mean they'll become the person they became in the comics, everyone. Like some of them are just Easter eggs. Some of them are plants that may come true. Mm-hmm. This series, next year, 5 years, like, well, so, cause there's going to be some names we talk about from the comics that do become people later. But as we're watching this show, seem normal and might not become that person in this show, so don't yell at us if they don't.
Well, yeah, and what I'll sorry guys, if you're new to the show, I'm brain dead, so what you and I think we're golden when we did our show. Yeah, we thought there would be a bigger hint than we got. We thought we would get some sort of actual bigger magical bad reveal. But when you look at everything and you look at the source material, and when you definitely look at the end end scene for WandaVision. It's obvious still there's a magical connection to her kids outside of her hex. And you go, okay, yeah, me and you got that the someone showing up wrong, but that doesn't mean that that's not still happening, guys. They got so many shows now, pal, and we're gonna be getting starting this year, supposedly, 4 MCU movies a year going forward, and between 4 and or anywhere between 3 and 5 TV shows a year. So there's a lot of story to tell and a lot of room to grow. Like, we know Monica from WandaVision is flowing into things that deal with potentially some of the stuff here, but definitely into both Captain Marvel and her Secret Invasion, and then Cosmic, of course, yeah, Armor Wars and something else. But anywho, yeah, this is going to be different type of this discussion.
Exactly. And let's start by just saying how no spoilers yet. We'll get into it in a second. How'd you like it, Kyle? What'd you think of Falcon and the Winter Soldier episode 1?
Outstanding. Very, very, very cinematic. I was shocked at how good this looked. Again, there are a few times in that intro where you're like, yeah, you guys, you know, sacrificed a few polygons there to save some frame rate or something, but it looks great. I'm digging the story for the most part. They've got some explaining to do, and there's only 5 episodes left.
5 hours, basically, because this is your typical hour-long show. It's like 42 minutes before 40, trailers.
Yeah,
approximately.
Exactly. Credits and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
It was like watching an HBO show or an old episode of 24. Only obviously,
right?
Much, much more modern and special effects-y.
right. And so we're gonna get they're gonna have to explain a lot, because this is very, very political and deals with shit during the blip. God, I hate they decide to undo the funniness of the return of in Far From Home in WandaVision, but they don't take away the ridiculous name.
I mean, it makes sense. Like, they always call it the incident for New York and those stupid Netflix shows. Like, you get a nickname for it.
Right.
Not everything's called by its date. I mean, you could call it 9/11 or whatever date it happened on.
No, but Blip was comedic for Spider-Man Far From Home. And for me, it would have been not necessarily that, you know, Cap would have held a press conference saying, and then Thanos snapped his fingers, so let's call it they could have called it, you know, like the Russos, they try to call it the decimation themselves in between.
Oh, that's good. The vanishing.
The vanishing.
I should have called it the vanishing, the return, as we'll talk about later. Yeah.
And then during the time between could be called the gap. The gap would be better to me than the blip. The gap.
I've been to the gap in decades.
Oh God. And there goes our monetization. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, please make sure you subscribe and watch other videos, so that way we can get paid.
I love this episode. This is perfect. I had no problems with it. I did A+, 10 out of 10. I watched it 5 times. I've only watched Justice League twice. It was so good. Oh my God. I was smiling ear to ear the entire, especially during the first fight sequence, but the entire fucking time I was like, oh, they're nailing the characters. Like, nothing felt like it was done incorrectly. Mm-hmm. I'll say before we get to spoilers. Like, there was never a moment where I'm like, these guys wouldn't do that, or like, that's very TV instead of feature. This felt like the first act of a feature film.
Yeah, definitely. You
know, and it looked
definitely.
Like it. And there I agree. There's a shot or two where I was like, yeah, that's not so great. But then again, Infinity War gives us a shot where Mark Ruffalo's head is not tracked perfectly. So yeah. Even the movies suffer a little bit because of the having to put them out. And then, I mean, you watch those credits. It's not just like hundreds of different compositors and artists. It's like, it's not like people think. People are like, oh, which special effects studio worked on it? It's like, no, 20 special effects studios mm-hmm. worked on separate parts of this project. And then they all come together, which is crazy to me. I didn't know that until like later. You know, because you watch, you sit through the credits of any Avengers movie or anything. It's not just like ILM anymore. It's like ILM and this studio and this studio and this studio and this studio.
Yeah.
And I had a friend in California who worked for a VFX guy. You remember it was that movie like Timothy Green or something where the kid's turning into a tree, the Disney movie, and he has like leaves on his legs, and like Jessica Alba. Nope. No, not Alba. Jessica B. No Garner or someone was the mom or something. But his boss's job was just to make sure the green looked right. The color of the leaves was the same from different VFX studio to VFX studio. And that was he would go in weekly and get notes for the studio execs were like,
yeah,
is the green really quite right in this shot compared to the last shot?
Like a script supervisor, but visual effects version of it. Yeah.
So I guess I loved it too. Yeah, I loved it also. So now we can get into spoilers. I figure we'll go through it like we've been doing it, scene by scene, basically. So I will break a part of it will just be storyline by storyline because in the first episode, spoilers, this is the first act of a buddy comedy. The buddies don't necessarily meet in the first act.
Yep.
They're off doing, I don't want to compare it to Defenders because Defenders is not very good, but same way that took a few episodes, like, you know, they even had the color scheme in that for each mm-hmm. character. This is, we get a Falcon, we get a Sam Wilson storyline and a Bucky storyline.
Yes.
Sam Wilson's working for the Air Force, going on missions, but apparently not getting paid enough. And Bucky working has for a the list.
Military.
Yeah.
And Buffy, it's not that he's not getting paid enough. It's that the
new rules.
The contracts aren't long. The contracts aren't permanent. He's being hired per job, which means you don't have a secure source big of income
almost
what's but, that
and then of course Bucky is more of he has like his apology list like he's a drunk only it's his talker would be like I was the Winter Soldier, I'm sorry, like Chris, I'm here to make amends.
Christine wanted me to point out her joke. She's like, he's like Earl from My Name Is Earl, you know. He's just trying to be a better person.
Well, he murdered a lot of people.
Yes, he did.
Well, let's go through it. Opening scene, Sam Wilson. I think we hear a different recording of the dialogue from Endgame, but the same words.
I think they just played with the audio as well.
You think they just played with it? Because it does sound different, but they could just adjust the audio. Whereas, he has the shield he's looking at in his room. He doesn't feel like he's worthy of it, but you have the line that Cap gave him, you know, where he's like, it feels like this belongs to someone else.
It doesn't.
And it doesn't. And of course, it is a new shield, but that's part of the timeline shenanigans. Like, it's not the same shield he had before. It has a different design. It's obviously, the other one was broken by Thanos in our timeline.
It's almost like the Russo brothers were right the whole time. Kyle was right the whole time. And every 6 months, it still comes up for some reason. What timeline did Cap really have his relationship with Peggy? He alternate timeline, waited, came back, delivered shield. Here's your in canon Kevin Feige, the proof of which side he's taking here in my mind, because you know how the writers, even though they wrote the rules for the time travel, tried to sit there and break their own rules and say he lived out in this timeline, and that's obviously not what which happened.
Means he would have stolen her from the other husband that she does have when they travel back to the 60s.
Exactly. Wouldn't have been messed up, right?
And all of her grandkids and stuff that are around her bed in a Winter Soldier would not exist.
Exactly.
And Sharon Carter would be his actual niece.
So, thanks, Feige, for making this like it, you know?
So he puts it back in like, you know, like old school Steve Rogers, like carrying bag, like, you know, something my grandpa would have, like some really old, you know, like it's been around a while. And then we go to Sam's mission where he has to save Captain Bissant. I think his name really doesn't matter. I looked it up. And stop a hijacking of a plane. And he has to stop it before he gets into Libya airspace. Is that correct?
Yeah, Libyan airspace.
And he's already in airspace he's not supposed to be into, which is why they send the Falcon in, because that was the whole purpose of the suits, as they explained in Winter Soldier, is they were developed by the army to be harder to detect, and you can be much smaller and more agile. Or the Air Force in that case, because they were for the Air Force. Obviously, you're going to build a flying suit. Probably going to be that division.
It was the Air
Force. And then he's being sent after.
Actually, para
yeah,
para rescue
drone. LAF, which I don't think we ever learned what LAF stands for, but it's led. This version is led by Batroc, the Leaper, who doesn't just leap around and fight these days. He's leaping in and out of helicopters like every other scene in this amazing action sequence.
Yeah,
which is probably the coolest action sequence I've seen since Endgame, and I'm including Far From Home. Like, this thing was, it's huge, it's fast, it looks perfect. They kind of have, some people said it looked weird at first, but I always thought it looked cool, and I realized why. His headshots are very close to the HUD shots.
Yes, I know.
Without having an actual, helmet on, they're still shooting it like he's Iron Man.
Yeah, and he's got, in his visor, you can actually see technical data.
Yeah, because he's definitely, they reference later, he's more souped up. Mm-hmm. I think it was someone on Breaking Geek who said this. I may have read it somewhere else that he's almost more of a. No, I think I read it somewhere else. He's more of at this point, he's almost a combination of Tony Stark and Steve Rogers. I feel like he's got the tech, but then he has a little bit of their personalities too. He's quippy, but he's, you know, righteous. You know, and they have to then hit on the ground. Joaquin Torres is his point man on the ground, and, you know, Falcon has to grab back the kidnapped captain before they reach the Libyan border. He does, and Batroc has the typical comic book death, where it's not even a death. We see him escape. If Marvel wants, he's back this series, or he's back next series. Like, it wasn't even like, did he die in an explosion? It's like, did the explosion cause his suit to fling him back to Earth? No, he flew off. He's he's Batroc. What did you think of this scene? This was obviously the big action piece.
It's fun. It reminded me of the flying canyon scene from Independence Day.
Nice. Yeah.
And that was also an incredibly fun, fast canyon action scene. Hence why it reminded me of it. And I think they're setting. You got to remember, Batroc was actually unaware that he was
he was hired by Nick Fury.
Yeah, he was unaware he was being used to be used. but I bet now, after the document dumped by Natasha, he definitely knows he was used by, you know, and how, and I think he's going to be a key player going forward.
I hope he comes back in this series.
Yeah.
For some, even if it's not some sort of, you know, he's, it's even really, if he's cool
in the Flag Smashers, even if he's a third party with his own grudge. That's good. You know, he's got, he could have a grudge against Shield, Nick, Cap, and he looks at Sam or Bucky or both as a representation. So he doesn't need to even be involved with Zemo stuff.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that's one of the cool things we also discussed on Breaking Geek, because we only went very briefly without spoilers, because only me and Jonesy had seen it, not Jammer or Danny. But this mirrors Captain America and the Winter Soldier. The first fight scene is versus Batroc. Of course, like you said, he's a mercenary. He could be working for anyone. Mm-hmm. I almost think he would work for Nick Fury again if Nick Fury paid him enough. You know, he doesn't care. He's a mercenary. So if he's actually part of LAF or if he's getting paid by them, we'll see. I don't think it matters, but he's probably just getting paid. He's definitely like a, yeah, he's a merc. And the score is the same for him because, of course, Henry Jackman came back so that the music is at least consistent, even if they couldn't keep the Russos for a TV show version of what I like to call Captain America 4 for the time being. Other interesting things about the scene is that Joaquin Torres, do you know who Joaquin Torres is in the comics?
Yeah, he gets the Red Wing or Falcon mantle himself later on.
He becomes Falcon when Sam Wilson becomes Cap during that short storyline in like 2015. But he's actually mutated to have wings and eyes himself by Dr. Carl Malus, who is known by the Power Broker.
Yeah.
And I only bring this up because the credits say the Power Broker is watching.
Yeah.
So that's my Mephisto right now is the Power Broker. Surely we'll see him unless it's a huge Easter egg, right? Even if he's not involved with studying, why they put his name is right there in the post credits.
I mean, yeah, look, here's,
it's going to be a different version, obviously.
Here's my guessing on what we're looking at, you know, or on LR Mornings and other episodes of this show. We've discussed seeing the, what looks like scrolls in the back of one of the scenes, like there's the skull of scrolls in a trailer for Falcon Winter Soldier. But I'm really thinking we're going to do a lot of what the comics did when they rewrote Captain America's history to introduce new characters and new angles and story potential. That's where you get your Isaiah Bradley, mm-hmm. and all that. That's technically a retcon. It wasn't part of the original.
Of course, it would never have been written that way in the original story.
Yeah, so I think one of the threads is Sam and his own feelings of you know value, worth. Will we explore, you know, bigotry experienced?
We will in the series, you can tell.
in the military before or what will they do with it? It's going to be very, very personal for him. One of the other threads that's going to be in this, I think, is going to be connected to an alternative super soldier's serum.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Absolutely.
Similar to what brought about the Abomination
and Hulk
and Hulk potentially perfected. Who knows? But I think that is what's going on more than Skrulls. Although legitimately, guys, anyone can be a Skrull right now, and at any time, it's a scary world now that they're there and that they're doing some variation of Secret Invasion. So
they're setting it up. So there will be fake people along the way, even if they're not revealed to be fake until Secret Invasion.
We're probably
meeting some fakes here. We probably met some fakes in WandaVision that will come back.
Right. So you've got this personal story for Sam. Then you're going to have this, these powered people, your Flag Smasher, her group that, I don't know if their leader will be, you know, the same Flag Smasher from the comics, if they're going to use the same name or something similar, but it seems their goal is basically to go back to anarchy. They want, you know, self complete anarchy, basically.
New world order.
they talked about a world with no borders and stuff like that, and just, you know, that matches the comics. So you got them, but then you've got the political side of things in the United States. This is why I said they got a lot of explaining to do, because we're led to believe by Torres that during the blip, while everyone was gone, vanished, that the world operated very differently. There probably wasn't as many stringent rules on borders and border and even crossing
within organizations. That's how some asshole like Hayward comes into power,
right?
Because he's there,
he's alive, and then everyone comes back. Yada yada. We're gonna get into the politics, which is where I think you're gonna see your characters like Power Broker. Potentially something like a scroll thing, stand-in, some random, Secretary of Defense Smith, and he's a Marvel nobody, but he turns out it's a scroll, and that's very, very important.
That would be dope. Thunderbolt Boss was a scroll the whole time. Thunderbolt Ross was a Skrull the whole time. That's almost too much, but that would be like that, perfect. Like, that's one of the oldest characters in the franchise.
Maybe he's been a Skrull since the heart attack. Maybe he did die.
Oh, it's golf swing heart attack.
Yeah, so something. They're
I
like
was working on my golf swing.
We got it. You know, Nick was like, "No, you got to fill that spot. Go get a
don't
get
call
a
him
Skrull
Nick.
In there.
You call him Fury. His mom Fury. Calls him Fury."
I like that. That is one of the best parts of Captain Marvel's movie. But yeah. So anyways, those are what we're gonna follow. And then of course with Bucky, it's obvious what we're dealing with him. So
of course. So we have Joaquin Torres. He seems to be being worked in as a sidekick, unless he's a traitor to Falcon. But I don't expect him to become Falcon in this series. He's almost like. When Falcon's introduced, you're like, oh, he's Cap's sidekick. Maybe he'll become Captain America one day, but more likely Bucky before you saw Endgame.
Right.
I think he'll be there for the rest of the series, you know, just kind of like giving him information as he does in this episode. We'll go through it. I'm after the fight scene. It confirms it's been 6 months because we already knew that, but he's lying where he's like, ever since the Air Force started messing with his tech 6 months ago, it's been glitchy.
Yep.
He won't let Torres touch it. And Torres has the AR and he's researching the Flag Smashers, and they have the great line between the two of them. They've talked what me and Kyle have talked about the politics of the blip, or like just the way the world stopped.
We need to know some of that stuff.
Half the government is when you lose half your government, not just half your people, half your armies, the borders fall, which is basically what we hear the Flag Smashers are about. And the whole course of the line, if it gets better for one group, it always gets worse for another.
Yes.
Which, that's you know, just it can be, it's like both a racial statement and not. Like, you can use it either way.
Yeah. And here's the funny thing about race is I am always the first person to point out that there are great IPs for contemporary commentary because that's how they were designed. Marvel is one of those. Marvel that's what Stan was doing.
The Black Panther came out before the Black Panther movement.
But they did look at changing his name because of it.
Oh, really? Afterwards?
Yes, he was actually Black Jaguar or just Jaguar for a bit. No, I'm not joking.
Brown Panther, like Dopinder. My little Brown Panther.
But, The one issue the MCU has is that they established a world that is at least you're never post racism. There's always going to be tribalism in existence as long as there's two groups of people with two different things that they can identify with, you're going to have tribalism. It'll always be there, right? But they didn't establish anything in the MCU outside of what we would expect as our real history. So we're expecting in the MCU there was probably racial issues in the 60s. They had an American Civil War. You know, we expect, at least up until we're introduced to Iron Man, that they've had a similar history.
Even having Cap leads to a similar history because he disappears.
Exactly.
You still win the war, only for different reasons.
Yep.
Secret reasons we wouldn't know about if that was a true story. You know, they wouldn't tell you that shit.
Exactly. So, but the only problem is, and it comes up in the bank scene, and that's that you had Nick Fury, head of S.H.I.E.L.D., face of the intelligence apparatus of not just America but the world, you know. And then you have James Rhodes
for Alexander Pierce,
right? But you have James Rhodes, the face of not just the Air Force but eventually Iron Patriot, face of the United States military Department of Defense.
An interesting comparison we'll get to,
right? So
they're willing to make him Iron Patriot, but this is a very different
situation. That's what I'm getting at, is I don't think we're gonna see, and when we get to the bank scene, I'll explain why. I don't think we're gonna see it as a out and out or even institutional racism on the government's behalf, whether it's the person that was took over during the blip happens to be an asshole. Well, when everyone comes back, do you really think the assholes are going to be able to just stay in power? Not necessarily. That's why I say they got some explaining to do with what they want to do, because comic book wise, it'll fit perfectly when he realizes, oh my God, they tested this unfinished product on Bradley. The first Captain America it's a very empowering thing still. You know, it takes this negative where the, you know, white government of then valuing Bradley less.
For the audience, let me just add in, I was gonna bring up later, we might as well talk about Isaiah Bradley now.
Oh, okay.
In the comics, as you said, it's a retcon, it's not in the original comics, so they wouldn't have written about this in 1940.
No.
Isaiah Bradley is basically a Tuskegee Airman.
Yes.
Where they tested the serum on him first to make sure it wouldn't kill a white man when they used it on a white man.
Basically.
Therefore, he was the first super soldier. But again, it being the 40s, Steve Rogers was the face of the program because he's, you know, the white guy from Queens.
Right.
So all American blonde, like, hero.
That's why.
And Isaiah Bradley, though, it worked on him. He is Captain America powers, but he's almost been, as of course you can see in the MCU, he's been erased from history.
Yes.
He's rumored to be in the show, and there's an actor who is rumored to play him that's confirmed to be in the show. So,
by the
his grandson becomes Patriot, I think. He's also an actor confirmed to be in the show, who's like a Falcon, almost like this. This other guy was mentioning Torres. He's like another kind of sidekick.
He's very
to the Cap sidekicks.
Patriot is actually very, very Robin-esque. Honestly,
and he would lead to your Champions or Young Avengers TV show.
Another one of them. Yeah,
he would be part of that group for sure as their Cap.
Like I said, the only issue that they have to deal with is this: if they decide that all of a sudden, after you know. A African American head of intelligence after an African American
a mistrusted
military,
head of intelligence because S.H.I.E.L.D. fell.
It did
while he was in charge.
But regardless, and after no mention at all through 10 years of films of any political issues of that sort, you can't just all of a sudden throw it in there because it happened now. You have to do it the way it makes sense for their story. And when we get to the bank scene, I'll show you why Marvel is struggling and why I I don't think that you're going to see it as an outright, the U.S. government can't have a black man as a, it, eventually, even if they give that as a front, we're going to see that the guy behind the cap thing is not like race out. Ah, that he is not really part of like the government as a whole, if you get what
or
I'm saying.
Or he's a Hayward, like you said. Like, yeah, what if Thunderbolt Ross is the asshole president? We don't know right now.
That's an example. I know who said that too. So
new rock stars.
You should give some credit. There you go. Yeah. So anyways.
I disagree with them on a thing or two. The other thing they brought up that I wanted to bring up. Do you think, based on the lines about his equipment not working right, and you, since you watch new rock stars and that he gets there and it's already hijacked, do you think that's evidence that they're already working against him in the military?
I
don't think it is.
No, I think it's...
And I think Torres is as nice as he seems to Falcon. I don't think he's a double agent of any... I think he's his new... He's Sam Wilson's new Sam Wilson, if you will.
Yeah. There is definitely in this already a group of people influence with the government of the United States. Absolutely, there are people working against Sam Wilson. It's not necessarily, and this is what I keep getting at is some people reaching, and I can't wait to get to the bank thing. Some people are going to really reach with what the government of the United States is doing versus what some people in the government are doing.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to,
I mean, and it's the same with the Sokovia Accords and stuff. It was Ross who's the big dick there. Like,
yeah.
As far as the U.S., no one else really in the U.S. government was like, Captain, you have to sign up. And President Ellis didn't show up and was like,
yeah,
Captain, you have to sign this. Ross has always been anti-hero because he's been anti-Hulk.
Yes, yes. And
he's always been the kind of guy who would want a Captain America that he hired, regardless of race, over someone who was picked by another vigilante who he didn't particularly care for.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Race is definitely a part of it, though.
Right. And I said this a couple of years ago. The race issue is going to be within Sam and his personal experiences. I don't think, and I said, I don't think it would work because in the universe you've set up, you haven't set up that type of antagonism for African American heroes. You haven't set it up in any movie at all for the
Killmonger was driven by.
Killmonger
was the hatred for how the black people have been treated in the United States and across the globe.
Again, I just agreed that they had the same history as us, which would mean Sam Wilson would experience. That's what I'm saying is the racial stuff. Some people either, you got two groups out there on the internet right now, I think. Those that are desperately already, Falcons, SJW, blah, blah. I'm like, hold on, guys. Stop. Calm those guys down.
Okay. That's the way the story's always been in this universe.
But you also have those that are like, oh, it's all going to be the government is racist and the government is against Sam because he's black. And it's going to be it's not going to be that big either. It's about Sam and his experiences. So
we'll see. I think, I don't know. Obviously, you with Disney, you can't get too involved with direct
when we
racism,
get to the
especially
bank.
Accusing
when we get
the U.S.
to the
government
bank,
of it.
I will.
But okay,
I will show you guys exactly what I'm talking about.
So now we're at the Smithsonian, where you know a nice guy with a beard is like, "Thank you for giving this up, Sam, for our exhibit." And yep. Rhodey's there.
Yeah.
And they have a nice conversation, one black sidekick to another, about keeping up the mantle. And they walk through an updated version of the exhibit. You know, it talks about vanishing, and it talks about.
You see them put the shield in, and then he's like, let's take a walk, and then the shields all of a sudden wear it.
Well, they put it in a case, and then they carry the case off to the exhibit. They put it in the case in front of the entire audience.
Maybe remember? I missed the part where they carried the case off.
Then. I know that because you see them wheel as they approach the shield at the end of that shot. They've just dropped it off.
Okay, got it.
But yeah, and it's really there's some cool Easter eggs there. No reason to go into all of them. New rock stars, of course, read them all out, and I'm like, I don't care what they all say. I get it. Like, they've updated it so it's not just one about Bucky being his old friend, but it's one about Bucky being a murderer and Bucky being redeemed. In this show, it is important to note. Stuff. I didn't think this would be. I thought we'd go into the show as them both being criminals, but they've both been pardoned, which is why Sam Wilson can work for the military and Bucky gets to do what he's doing, as we'll get to in a second. So they have like the conversation about, you know, obviously Rhodey thinks that Wilson should have kept the shield.
Yep.
But at the same time, they never bring it up. It's not like Rhodey's ever been like, I'm the next Iron Man. So there's almost some irony there. No, if irony.
Yeah, I see what you did.
I didn't mean to, but. So, and that's something I thought was interesting that wasn't it? Like, Sam didn't throw it back in his face. It was interesting. Like, well, you could be Iron Man right now, man, but you're just.
Yeah, well.
And he is, to be fair, at this point, even after going against Ross, of course, everyone was forgiven. And he was one of the people who did save the world because he wasn't blipped. Rhodey's a hero. Like, he was picked to be Iron Patriot.
Yeah. And
which is government sponsored Iron Man.
Exactly. Which is what, you know, a Ross would want. And there's a reason why his name keeps coming up. With Rhodey, though, he's a military guy. He's not a billionaire, and he's not a mechanical engineer genius. He is a very smart guy, but he's not Tony Stark.
Yeah, he's not updating his own stuff. He's got people.
Right, exactly. So he can't.
War Machine story, boom.
Right, he can't be the next Tony Stark. He knows he can't be the next Iron. He's War Machine. He's not even that. He's War Machine. He's James Rhodes. He's Rhodes. That's who he is.
Rhodey.
And we know him as War Machine, but he doesn't even call himself that really anymore. And
no, that's we've discussed this before. Very few people use titles in the show.
Very few people use titles. And at the end of Endgame, he's in a variation of a red, white, and blue armor. And
it's more of a tank too than like typical. It's like a slash Hulk, half Hulkbuster, half Iron Patriot.
Yep.
So. They discussed the New World Order too, obviously, because, you know, Falcon's been gone, but Rhodey hasn't. You know, Rhodey's been around trying to manage shit while they were waiting for a plan to attack Thanos with. And there we go to Bucky's storyline, which starts with a nightmare that I spelt with the K, because ever since Batman versus Superman, I've spelt nightmare with the K because it's nightmare Batman.
Yeah, whenever you're writing stories and stuff. It's
like on this, I have my little yellow pad here. It says nightmare with a K. So Bucky has a nightmare of one of the times he was the Winter Soldier and killed a bunch of people and had to kill an innocent person because he saw too much. As he told Stark, I remember all of them.
I remember
in a Civil War. So, this is this innocent guy gets killed because he's trying to get into his room. At the same time, Bucky's wiping out, you know, mobsters or terrorists or something, you know, whatever it's Hydra Bucky. Doesn't
he
like.
He does what he has to do.
You got the Winter Soldier punched through the arm and grabs someone. You got the music again. It's perfect.
And the exact same music. And all that. Yep.
And he wakes up and he's sleeping on the floor, which ties back to Winter Soldier as well. I kind of wanted to ask you about this, Kyle, where there's a conversation between Sam Wilson and Steve Rogers where they're like, you know, feels like I'm sleeping on a marshmallow, like I'm going to fall through the floor when I sleep on the bed. So that's why, like, so Bucky's sleeping on the floor, which ties directly back into that conversation. As a veteran, have you experienced anything like that? You know, like in Munich, they talk about sleeping in the closet because they're so uncomfortable.
It is a experience dependent thing. For the most part, except for short stints, all of my nights in Iraq, Afghanistan, all through the Middle East have either been on a bed frame with a mattress or a cot. Very rarely have I slept on a floor or slept on vehicles. It's happened for, you know, a few nights here and there, but there are people that do have it rougher. And definitely when you go in during an initial invasion, like people that deployed to Iraq in 03 and people that went into Afghanistan in 01-02, they had it way different than when I even showed up to Iraq in 05, you know, let alone when I showed up for my first tour in Afghanistan in 2010. You know, that's 9 years of establishment. So
yeah,
it's very dependent, but it is definitely something that's due of seeking out some sort of comfort. Mine used to be sleeping against the wall. I did.
That's what I was thinking. If there's something like that, like Munich, it's sleeping in the closet because of safety. There's like a lines of dialogue in that. And
I don't know if it ends up happening or not. I think 6 years before I let our bed be off one of the walls.
Damn.
So, yeah.
So Bucky's in therapy. It's really interesting. This reflects both of them. The Falcon doesn't talk about it in this episode. Obviously, the first time we meet Falcon, aside from On Your Left, he's doing like a focus, like not a focus group, but you know, a group meeting for other vets.
Yeah.
And Bucky's going through therapy in a similar way. And it's true of both of them, but Bucky says it. He's like, look, as far as I'm concerned, I've been at war since the 1940s. Like the battle, I had some peace in Wakanda, but otherwise I just get woken up when there's, I've been fighting for 100 years, even though I've been asleep for most of that time. But and it's same as for Sam. It's like when he got 5 years of being dusted, he doesn't get to feel that. The minute he's back, he's fighting this, then he's back into the working for the U.S.
military
again. Yeah. So they're both soldiers who can't return home at this point. And Bucky, of course, Bucky, he has, like we said earlier, he has a list like Steve Rogers, only it's people he's wronged, and he has to follow the three steps. Don't break the rules.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't break the law. Don't hurt anyone. And like, what is just his line about, I was the Winter Soldier.
I'm no longer the Winter Soldier.
Like a drunk thing. It's like, I apologize. Yeah.
Like, my name is Earl.
So he took down Senator Atwood,
mm-hmm.
who was someone he put in power when he was Hydra. He hijacks her car, just drives it across the parking lot with a little device, breaks the window, punches the guy in the seat next to her. She's going to have someone axed, who's also in Congress or whatever. And then he's like, I'm sorry, you know, my name is Bucky Barnes. I was the Winter Soldier. Like, here and you go. And then the cops arrest her.
Yeah, evidence left.
And he crosses it off his list. And the next name on the list is Yuri. Well, Mr. Nakajima. But another name on the list, some other names on the list are Andre Rostov, who is a character in the comics. He's the Red Barbarian in the comics. Again, these are names that we're listing that we probably won't ever see, but it's just like, wink, wink, it's fun. Yep. Like most of the names on the Vanished list were people who worked on the show.
Yeah, I half expected to see what's his name? The Red Centurion or whatever that David Harbour's playing.
I half
expected to see his name on the list as an Easter egg. But
they probably worked together at some point.
Eventually. Yeah, exactly. You know.
And of course, there's an H Zemo on the first page of the list. So
Helmut.
We'll see where that goes. So later he's out with an old guy, an old Japanese guy, having sushi. And at first I'm like, is this like a World War II friend? Like, cause you know, and they're like, they're having similar conversations. They're talking about the same shit because they're both old guys, even though, I mean, he has to cover for himself once in that scene. He says something about how long he's been doing something. Is like, I mean, it feels like, because this guy is not a World War II friend. He's an old guy who Bucky has been hanging out close to because the kid he killed trying to get into a hotel room, old kid, young adult, 20 something, 30 or something, was Yuri's son when he was the Winter Soldier. So Yuri is supposed to be the next person he crosses off his list. Yuri hooks him up with a nice Japanese girl. And it was just very awkward from the date starting. Bucky almost keeps looking out the window, not because he's like on patrol looking out for bad guys, but he's just that awkward. Because again, he's 100, and she asked his age. He's like 106.
Yeah, I like that. Like,
that's hilarious.
Yeah. And it's funny because
like, you guys go out for Pinnacle or something.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people respect what it means for the MCU to be happening in, or had been happening in, relative real time. I don't think people understand like how that pigeonholes some characters from being able to use their comic origin, say Magneto and Xavier, unless you want to again play with the time and set it in the past, or be change universes and you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
there's so much.
We've discussed this before.
Yeah, there's so much about the MCU Prime and the way it is that I hope we get a lot of political stuff about what, not just political stuff, now history. What happened during the 5 years?
I think we will get more of that in this show. I hope. I mean, you don't want to get too much explanation either, but it would be nice to have some. So yeah, that's why, you know, Bucky leaves the date quickly to go, like, apologize to Mr. Nakajima. And yeah. He can't. He's like, oh, here's the money. He just can't do it. He can't tell him that. Oh, and all that he wants is closure.
Yep.
And there's a weird there's a conversation where she's like, there's no name for someone who's lost kids. And I was like, that's kind of a weird conversation. I don't know. It doesn't necessarily mean it's that much more painful than anything, where she's like, there's a name for everything else except for people who lost kids. But it works. Gets him to leave his date where he's playing Battleship and sipping beers. And he even does the Tony Stark thing. In Iron Man 2, Tony Stark has to stop one of those, you know, the machines that don't stop moving on Pepper's desk. And in this Winter Soldier, Bucky tries to stop the cat with the moving arm.
Lucky cat.
Yeah. Just keeps doing it. So then we go back to Sam. He's got his family in Louisiana. His sister calls him Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
Like, differently than the kids call him Uncle Sam.
Very sarcastically. Yeah.
He doesn't want to sell the boat because that's his family. That's his legacy. In a way, it plays off of the Cap legacy,
mm-hmm.
where he almost as if he would let go of this legacy, he could move on to the Cap legacy. But he could serve the fishing boat and their house. That's the family. That's the Wilson legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, his sister and his nephews were not blipped, so they all grew up and stuff while he was. And she, you know, she digs into him for being away, but it's like, for part of it, he wasn't even alive.
Well, yeah, but she had a big issue with him joining the military
from the beginning.
Yep.
But then and then she makes jokes of him like fighting spaceman and stuff then being gone for 5 years.
I'll say this, and this again goes to why I hope I'm right with these storytellers. This personal journey that we can go down with Sam, especially when you hear his sister and her reaction to him being in the military, that ties directly into, again, actual military history, which they can use to, again, have contemporary current commentary using history and the comics accurately, and boom, we feed everything as it's meant to. Again, it's crazy how comic accurate these shows are being versus some of the movies. And a lot of siblings have issues with their siblings joining the military. Mm-hmm. That's not an uncommon thing, especially in strong familial not even necessarily cultures, because it's across the board. Whenever you've got a strong familial tie, when someone leaves, especially if there's any strife, there's a lot of resentment there. And it seems like she's got that.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. She says you just kind of left and left it all to me. Yeah, so I guess from there we can jump. Well, no, before we get to the other bank scene, there's a Swiss bank scene.
Yeah,
where,
yes.
I'm not looking into as much as new rock stars. I mean, it's a Swiss bank. Maybe we'll learn it belonged to someone rich later. It doesn't matter. It's just
doesn't matter at all.
Where Torres shows up because of all that augmented reality stuff he's been following and chatter online.
Yep.
And he shows up and he's like, "What are we supposed to do?" And they get like a little message and what's her face is handing out masks. She actually, I can't remember. She's the woman from Solo. In charge of, you know, surprisingly, it's a woman human in charge of that pirate group or whatever. Apparently her character name is very close to the character who's
a teenager, and how is this connected to the rebellion and why is Han Solo being a good guy?
We're not talking about that area of Disney. Lando will be out later and you can cover that on the cantina.
I will.
We're covering, you know, once you work for Disney once, count on that second Disney job, and she got it. Know what I mean? So the group is the Flag Smashers, not an individual. Yeah. But I think her name is closest to the name of the real Flag Smasher. It's like a female first name, but the same last name.
Did they give an official name?
No, yet? But she's listed as an official name on IMDb or the post or the credits or something.
Okay. Hey. But I know for a fact that Matt Shackman or Jen Schaefer noticed what's his name from Ultron, Spader, being on the list for WandaVision, and Feige actually told them, leave it alone, don't even mention it.
That's
so
true. That I used to think we'd get some at least Ultron in the flashback.
Yep, and that would explain the credit, but not even that. So when I can't remember which interview, so I'm sorry, Matt, Jen, whichever of you said it, thank you for pointing out that Marvel will leave a misleading cast on Google, on IMDb.
Especially since anyone can add to IMDb. It's like, why correct them if that's what they think's going to happen? So if you have an IMDb Pro, you can basically edit any pages.
I will say, hey,
you just have to get it approved. Like Wikipedia.
Yeah, I will say this though. It is interesting that there you have Marvel telling a showrunner and or director. Like I said, I don't remember. I don't. Why do I feel bad? I got a severe brain injury from an accident in 2019, and I feel bad. But anyways, them pointing that out is such a big deal and confirmation, but that Marvel will allow that to go on. But then James Gunn smashes fucking rumors like it is a bad habit, man, you know. Like that meme, the smash
this did guy, you ever guy,
gif or whatever it is.
It was a few years ago. I don't know if you ever saw so someone threatened his life on Twitter and was like, you better put fucking Nova in a new movie. And he responds like, because of your comments, I may have had Nova in the movie, but Nova will not be in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, no matter what, because you're a dick and fuck off. Like, he didn't get to say all that, but he was like, guess what? Because you're a dick, you'll never see Nova from me.
Yeah. Like,
maybe I would have used him in Guardians 3 or 2, but not now, because you're an asshole.
Yeah. So it's kind of
James Gunn.
It's kind of weird what Marvel allows their people to dismiss and not, you know?
Yeah, well, they all know the certain rules of what will get them in trouble. Then they're allowed a little bit of freedom, especially if you're as powerful as James Gunn. It's not like he's like, you know, the voiceover actor for Pietro in Mexico or for Spanish or whatever, who did get canned the minute that he leaked the information. James Gunn's allowed more freedom than a lot of directors, I bet, as far as saying what he wants to say. But so yeah, they have obviously there's at least one superhuman there. He jumps out. He has, you know, not even a superhero landing, but like four stories. Mm-hmm. And he has two bags. In the chaos, everyone's putting off masks. It's kind of like the Joker's opening sequence or something. He hands off the bags to someone else, straight up kills someone by kicking them into a wall.
Yeah.
But then when he comes to Torres, he does kick him in the head, but he doesn't kill him. Doesn't. He could have killed fractures him with one smash.
Fractures his orbital, though.
Yeah. So, and then he checks in with Sam Wilson, of course, to be like, hey, and Wilson's like, I thought you were supposed to be fucking monitoring it online.
I was. You have to be here to monitor it online. I had signal here.
Yeah. Then, that leads us into Sam Wilson wants to use his Avenger star power to get a loan that was unable to accomplish before, to a point where when they go to the bank, the guy's like, I recognize you. Did you play for the, I forgot what the local team was. And he's like, no, but he's like, who are you? He does a little wing signal. He's like, Falcon. Could I get like a selfie?
Yep. They play,
and they're denied they play a bank loan and being there regardless.
Yep. They play a lot of laughs there. So there's a comic.
It's also very painful to watch.
It is. So here's a couple things. Number one, his sister had already said goodbye to the boat. She had already emotionally processed.
Yes. And she's everything. Like, why did you bring me back into this? The decision was hard to make. Why are you making this hard again?
So again, this is a very personal. This is Sam not even being able to get out of his own head, let alone be in someone else's to see their point of view on it, right? And the next thing, he convinces her, you know, no, man, I'm a fucking Avenger, you know? I got these contracts and star power, and we'll get it. And they go in there, and he even plays up his thing.
You recognize me?
Which is not necessarily what I think Sam would want to do. Wouldn't do it for himself,
though.
But he's for his sister, for his
family legacy we've talked about.
Right.
So he looks at the boat, he sees all the photos of his parents and him when he was younger.
Exactly. So here we get our we're supposed to get our first taste of the modern racism that we might be facing in the MCU, but they don't really do much other than her saying the difficulty of getting
like
loans
like us or something. And
there's some slight wording, but they are putting jokes in front of and behind every little serious part. And then as soon as we get down to the nitty-gritty, it comes down to what all loans really do come down to, no matter what is your income? Do you have a steady income? That depends on what size loan you can get, you know, what collateral you'll need, like all of that. And Sam's sister's income is not enough for what they wanted to do.
And Sam has no income for five years, and they still care about that.
Right.
Even though he was
dead.
But it's
not just that. It's like I said, the contract thing. This is where I think the fact that the government's been influenced or in what's the word? Not infected, not interfered, infiltrated. The government's, you know, infiltrated, or it's got a group something off with it, because they play all these laughs, and then at the very end of the scene, and like I said, this is supposed to be our first this is supposed to be the remember institutionalized racism scene, but they end it with legitimate Sam, you get a contract for one job. That's not enough of a consistent income for us to, you know. Now, if you want to pay cash up front, sure. But
he's got to have a big deal,
a long contract.
In the old world, this would have worked great. Sam Wilson understands how that works in the old world. But he's like, look, I have people who've popped up out of nowhere for the last 6 months who all want loans. It's like, mm-hmm. where is that money coming from? So like things have changed. Not even like they play, obviously it's played for a racist angle and it has to be for this series, but it's also, yeah, he's just, I mean, he's being straight with them.
Right? Yeah.
Like, look, that's, you know how many loans I'm being asked to give out? Like, and that's what people have disappeared and they have no income for 5 years, yeah. and they're just suddenly here asking for money.
And that's what I'm saying is they use her and him and some certain phrases and reactions, but the actual person and the institution, their rejection, their interaction in no way denotes any form of discrimination based on Sam and his sister's skin color. And that's because Marvel, for some reason, if that's the way they want to go and say that somehow during the blip, nothing but the weakest of the weak were left, and then a bunch of assholes, and all the assholes got in power. Whatever you're going to do, you got to explain it, is all I'm saying. Because right now, as the MCU stands, it doesn't exist the way that some people see it going. And it might go that way. If it does, they have to explain it. Otherwise, it doesn't fit. Again, this banker's making jokes, Sam's making jokes, and you end on the legit thing. No one has the money to back the loan. There's nothing
if
there.
If I was Sam, I'd punch that guy in the fucking face when he asked for the second selfie.
Microaggression. The guy's obviously, you know, a tool.
Fanboy and insensitive.
You know, yeah, he's a tool, and you can play on that. Like it's weird because that scene alone shows you how Marvel is wanting to do this messaging and do it right, because they have, I think Feige's smart enough to even look at his own universe and go, well, wait, things weren't like they were in 19 and 20 when I started this in 2008. You know what I'm saying? Things weren't like that. So how do I work this in? As long as they work it in the right way, do it. Marvel has always been about stuff like this, but it has to be done right. You can't just all of a sudden say, all the white supremacists got in charge of America during the blip. It doesn't, that would be lazy writing. And that's why I think it's a specific group inside the government, right? And that at the end of the day, the cap thing won't be about race as far as America against Sam, but within Sam, absolutely, there is a shit ton of racially related back and current story going on.
Absolutely. I do think there is more race stuff going on just based on the way we kind of excuse race today in America, where you can just looking at people's, where most people fall socially, like obviously it's more of a discrimination against poor people who can't afford a loan, but at the same time that disproportionately affects certain races, especially in Louisiana. And which is where someone like Falcon's sister could take it as like, okay, mm-hmm. it's people like us, you know, oftentimes racism is not explicit. It's you can't afford something, so you get less college, training, or whatever, because you're poor and you have less opportunity.
And again, that will all go back
or social status.
Right. Yeah. And again, that all goes back to Sam's experience and his absolutely. Interactions. And it all goes back to a conversation we had on Los Fanboys a long time ago when I said, guys, look, having it really to where it's America, either the American people, public in general, or the American government saying we don't want a black cap won't make sense in the MCU, and it still won't here, but you can absolutely make race very, very, very key, front and center, modern, based on current events in Sam's life, in the world, in the everything fits. It's just that one thing. I don't know why people want, for some reason, them to all of a sudden shoehorn that America hates Sam Wilson. Like, I don't understand a desire for someone to all of a sudden force that into a 6-episode miniseries. How do we get from we love the Avengers to we hate Sam Wilson because he's black? You see what I'm saying? It doesn't fit the MCU without an explanation. And if you give a good one and the whole US hates him, fine, as long as the story's good. But I think, again, it's going to be
personal. I don't think the US, we'll get into the last act in a little bit. I don't think the US population matters at all. I think it's what the decisions, whoever nefarious in the government is making.
Right. That small
independent of what
group.
Popular
exactly.
opinion is in the MCU.
Exactly. And that's all. I mean, I've been wanting to get to this discussion because of that talk we had back at Los Fanboys. I think it's more for Sam that it goes back to his Endgame talks with Cap. It feels like it belongs to someone else. This is about Sam and his own view of himself, which definitely, God, yes. What do you think forms a person's view of themselves? How they're treated when they grow up and what they witness. So all of the storylines that we want, that we need, that need to be seen, that are relevant, they're being told right here. Comic accurate. It's beautiful. It's everything Stan Lee would have wanted. And I love the Falcon and Winter Soldier for it.
And just to wrap it up, we skipped scene or two. Of course, we have there's the comment about when Torres is talking back to Sam Wilson reporting on his event. He's like, "Did you get a good look at the guy?" And he's like, "Not really," because Falcon obviously thinks it could be Bucky, because Bucky has that skill set.
Right,
Bucky can be mind controlled. Like, Bucky could be the one who jumped. Winter Soldier could have jumped out of a 3-story building with bags, almost smashed Torres's head with one kick, because he's a super soldier. And then for the final scene, of course, is the heartbreaking one for Sam, where the same person that convinced him to give up the shield
gives
is the man
to
hand
else.
Off the shield to John Walker.
Jackass.
The good old blue-eyed, blonde-haired American, new Captain America.
Yep. You eventually, you U.S. agent in the comic books was a wrestler, which is really funny because he wore
that would work
his,
here.
He wore his
wrestling
outfit
no.
when he fought Captain America and stuff like that to take the mantle from Captain America.
And then we know we have our villains like the Flag Smashers, maybe Batroc back, definitely Zemo, but U.S. agent be more of a gray character depending on how which way they shoot this story, because again, like, especially if Ross is the one in charge, he's very specifically placed instead of any of the original Avengers, white or black,
exactly,
because he's it's safe, he's
control.
Owned by the government, he's a soldier, as from other stuff, photos we've seen from pictures we've seen and trailers we've seen, he's a soldier just like Cap,
in the,
who worked
dressed
for the United States
US
of America
Army uniform.
Yep. So, and that's I think that's the perfect place to like do it. That's the ending of the episode. It's perfect where it's like, oh
yeah,
here's it's welcome, ladies and gentlemen, the new Captain America, who also note carries a handgun. And we've seen Cap use guns in war. We've seen Cap pick up a gun in Avengers. Mm-hmm. He's on the helicarrier and shoot other people. But mostly Cap's been a shield guy, you know, literally throwing the shield, not a shield member.
Falcon,
so this is.
Falcon always used guns.
Yeah, Falcons used guns as late recently as Civil War. But yeah, one thing you notice
as Infinity War.
Yeah, but Infinity War, they're just shooting aliens. It's like Bruce Wayne in the Snyder Cut, where he's just shooting parademons, not humans. But we've seen him shoot Hydra agents and tried to shoot Bucky with guns.
Yes.
But yeah, he's carrying a gun right on his hip, which is it should be a bigger contrast than it is, but based on what you just brought up, it's not that big a contrast. No. Like, I mean, of course, Bucky has a raccoon in one arm and a machine gun in the other.
And Bucky carried his gun as his time as Captain America as well.
Yeah.
Several Caps have carried guns, so it's not that big of a deal. I think some people, but then again, because of it being the MCU, and we haven't seen all those other Captain Americas, but like I said, the Falcon thing, we'll see. They might make a deal out of it.
I don't think they'll make that big a deal out of it, because it doesn't really matter. Because when I was watching I was watching Justice League with my friends yesterday. We also watched Falcon and the Winter Soldier. We were just comparing it, where it's like, yeah, Batman's not supposed to kill, but he does. Superman's not supposed to kill, but he does. The Avengers all kill. There's no reservations to, like, except for Hulk, who feels guilty when he's back to Bruce Banner. There's no reservations. They kill Hydra soldiers. They kill terrorists. They kill humans. They kill aliens. Like, no one in the Avengers doesn't kill.
Yeah,
definitely. Iron Man's suit of armor is a weapon.
Yep.
Cap is a soldier from World War II.
Yep.
This isn't Superman and Batman who are like trying to capture people instead of killing them. It's like, you fight us, you did.
Spidey has killed, you know? So
Spidey kills. Yeah. So
it's a devastating scene for Sam, because it's double. One, he's feeling betrayed by his government. I kind of know what it feels like to be betrayed by my government to a degree. I did not agree with the conflict in Iraq. Definitely did not agree with the way it was handled, because in my opinion, whenever we go to war, you should go to war with one intention: win the war, and that's it. There's nothing else. You defeat your enemy's ability to wage war against you. And you're supposed to do it in such a manner that that enemy, and hopefully any witnesses, will never wish to wage war on you again.
Sure. But
that's not what happened, right? So I come back.
That's history at this point.
Right. Years later, ISIS takes over a city. And an area in Iraq where I did a lot and lost, you know, and stuff happened. And that was, and I felt, you know, really angry, because it's like, I didn't want us to be there. But now, because of the way the government decided to do things, you guys just, everything I did was pointless. You know, that whole year. My scars for life, like all of that, pointless now. Thanks. Appreciate it. Go fuck yourself. You know, I can get that. And then you got the whole, that doesn't belong to him. That belongs to Steve, because it doesn't even belong to me. Yeah. You know,
it's a symbol without a person. And this isn't the person. I'm not the person. I don't think this guy's the person. He's not Steve.
And I wonder if at the end of this show, we get a third shield, a new shield for Sam as Captain America, because that shield is Steve's. So we'll see. There's a lot of interesting things, but dear God, why did they who designed the head piece, and why did they lit his ears?
It looks like the old man from Up. Well, the old Captain America suits had the ears too, which I thought was silly. I think it's Avengers. He has the ears sticking
wings.
Out.
They had wings.
No, the wings are always painted on, but his ears are showing in one of the movies. Mm-hmm. The rest of the movies, they correct it with the ear guards.
Right.
I think it's Avengers. His ears are popping out just like that.
Yeah, but in that, they didn't have it where it pushed his ear down, though. They had it where it cupped it right, and it didn't. Walker's ears are, like, bent like a dog's, dude.
And his face is like the old man in Up for somehow. I know that actor. The actor does not normally look like that.
No.
I've seen him in 22 Jump Street. He's, like, the college frat guy who falls in love with Channing Tatum. Like, not literally, but they're, like, the two bros who were, like,
yeah.
Hey, man. But so, yeah, I'm pretty excited for what comes next.
I don't really
have a lot of theories. Obviously, we'll see Zemo later. Mm-hmm. There should be some sort of superhero serum, according to the credits. The same shot where it said, what's his face is watching.
Yeah.
There's a nice little vial of blue liquid. So yep. Obviously someone has some superhero serum lying around somewhere. Mm-hmm. I assume John Walker has it. Maybe the villains have it. Maybe it's made by Ross. Maybe it isn't.
Mm.
These are all great things to look forward to, but I'm not expecting any Mephisto in the show, are you?
No. I don't expect any. I told you what I think will be the thread that spins off here, and Rhodey showing up kind of confirms that. I think that thread's going to lead us down the our Armor Wars, Ironheart type tech side of things. But this feels almost more isolated than WandaVision to me, honestly. Like that this series, I get that it has the potential to get a season two and carry on with the same title.
And maybe have a movie in between where he's captain or maybe. Something. We don't know.
But this first arc, this six episode thing feels like it's going to be a very, very, very tight story. And I don't think that there will be as big of repercussions from this for the wider universe.
This movie is not going to result in the most powerful character in the Marvel universe for sure.
Well, not
comparing
just
it to WandaVision.
Not just that, but even if it ended with like the revelation of Skrulls, let's say that you and I obviously are both kind of on the same page that Skrulls possible serum, most likely what we're looking at is loose super soldier serum, right? And yeah. And it's I lost my train of thought. Oh,
superhero serum moving into Armor Wars.
Oh yeah. So when we're looking at the future and who's gonna be in this, you and I have mentioned Ross a lot. We saw Rhodes.
Rhodes and, right off the bat too. I was happy.
Yeah,
I was like, they're not saving these cameos.
And
it feels so easy.
Oh,
like,
that's what
it
I was
feels
saying.
So it's, fitting.
That's what I was trying to say. The effects on the broader universe. I think our effects for Sam and Bucky are going to be for Sam and Bucky, and that the broader universal effect of this show is going to. I don't think it's going to be as big a deal as other things have been. It could even be a huge thing like revealing to everyone Skrulls are on Earth. And I still wouldn't consider that as universe changing as WandaVision.
No, I don't think it will be at all. I do think the thing it could become at its biggest is a Sokovia Accords type situation where let's say they defeat US Agent. And then it leaves the government at a point where it's like, okay, we have the old heroes who aren't in our payroll. And then for some reason, John Walker went too dark or something. I'm just assuming what happens with the series.
Mm-hmm.
The guy we put in charge didn't make it. Because there are rumors the Thunderbolts for this. I don't think we'll get the Thunderbolts in this show. But I think we're building to the Thunderbolts in the future show or movie. I don't think they'll be in this, though. But I think we're building to that for sure.
Yeah,
and
I've wanted
I don't
it.
Think U.S. Agent will get killed. I think he'll go bad at the end. And I think he'll be a Thunderbolt later with a few other characters that
we
know
okay with that.
Are living and haven't been touched for a while.
He could almost be like, I didn't choose to to be the Captain America guy. They did that to me, and you guys resented me for it. You know, that wasn't my
I'm a monster
choice.
Now.
Yeah. If it fits, man. I like I said, and why I'm excuse me, on that Mephisto train for WandaVision is these are legitimately the most comic accurate stories in the MCU. Really, when you look at it, yes, they're adapted to fit to today and the MCU and characters that they've made in the MCU that are different than their comic counterparts, but it is incredibly story accurate. We're going to legitimately, I can almost already see it in my mind when Falcon realizes the lineage of the Super Soldier's serum. I can almost see Erskine working on Skull, right? And yeah. And like the race for the bomb, there's the crew in the States with Stark and the SSR.
Howard.
Yeah, yeah. Howard and the SSR are.
Because usually
right?
The SSR, that was obviously the SSR yeah, has some SSR. Version of it too based on Black
right.
Widow.
And I can see them doing the experiments on like you said, the Tuskegee Airmen of the MCU, including Isaiah Bradley. And when Red Skull does Skull and Erskine leaves, he's able to take what Howard did and what he did and perfects it, and boom, there's Steve Rogers. But you still have that lineage, and I think that's going to help Sam realize something I love, and I hate to get political, but shout out to Sonny Johnson that says this every February during Black History Month. Black history is American history. That's a fact, and in the Marvel comics, they made that. And it was great because that's what Stan did. That's what Stan would have done, even though he didn't. It was done after him. They still did that. They went back and put in a Marvel version of the Tuskegee. Why? Because that's important. That happened. And that's what Marvel has always been great for, is contemporary commentary, and for us to relate to the characters. I can't relate to the racism part, of course. I can relate a lot with Bucky.
Yeah, because of your past experience. Absolutely, that's what I was thinking.
You know,
that's why I asked you about the floor.
Yeah, part. And
I have no experience with that, but I know yeah. that you. Thank you for your service, of course.
Oh, thanks.
I've said to you before, but yeah. I might as well say it on the podcast as well.
So I love it because to me. This show is showing something. Now I got to tag Sonny and Jeff and Felicia and all of them on Twitter for this. But I love it because this is a, yes, he's sharing the screen with Bucky because it's part of the story. But we are getting
Buddy
to
Cop, son. Buddy Cop, eventually.
We're getting to see again, like we did with Chadwick Boseman and Black Panther. Something that Hollywood really had an issue showing for a while, which is a strong, good, black character on screen, front and center, name on the marquee. They were
he can beat Batroc.
And they were afraid of it. And now Sam is getting it. So it's awesome because as multiple things are happening, and it's Marvel leading the way again. Make my Marvel. Thank you, Stan Lee, for all that you did, your soapbox and everything. I mean, yeah, this to me is, this has a great potential to be one of the best love letters to Stan Lee. Just in their ability to tell a relevant story, but by God, Marvel, don't fuck it up and just put an A4 scene in.
Don't think this is the show for that. We'll get some Agent 13, but I don't think we'll be getting any of that.
I don't. You know what I mean? Don't force something like you did A4 force in Endgame. You guys
do
have
it got, natural like WandaVision.
You guys have got everything here for an amazing story about an amazing black man that people across the world need to see. You brought up Killmonger and his whole point, like I said, and that's, you gotta, again, think their world basically went on like hours until at least the Battle of New York, you know, because everything else was kept mostly secret.
But even then, like, racism didn't go away right after the Battle of New York.
So
it's like our world.
You've got this going on, and it all fits, and the story and that devastation on Sam's face, because like I said,
that scene is crushing.
Double fold. It's a betrayal. Because it's the same guy that was like, you know, there to take it away.
Thank you for turning this into this historical item. It belongs in a museum.
It's betrayal by your government, and then it's your best friend's. I like what Eric Voss on New Rockstar said. It's his body. You're desecrating his body. That shield is his body. You know,
I'm assuming he's still alive because we haven't heard anything otherwise.
And
I do love the jokes about the moon.
The moon base. Yeah. So it's great. I love it. I can't wait until next Friday.
Same. It's for me. It's so much better. I love WandaVision, but this is, you know, my dream show. This is my dream. I love buddy cop movies. I love Captain America franchise. Boom. Like,
this could have been
the minute those two get together. I'm going to be like, pissing myself with excitement.
This could have been literally Marvel shipping you a Blu-ray case with dog poop in it, and you still would have bought it just because it said Falcon and Winter Soldier.
They recognized it at the same time I recognized it. Mm-hmm. It's like you watch Civil War and you're like, there's fucking chemistry here. Like,
this is good.
There's a whole story to tell, even if it's 6 hours between just these two guys dealing with their shit and each other's shit, because they both want the same thing, but they don't go about it the same way, which, you know, is the perfect formula for a Lethal Weapon, a Rush Hour, all my favorite movies. Anything else you want to add this week before we close out, Mr. Kyle?
No. I'm glad we don't have to whiteboard a lot of stuff.
No, this isn't this game kind of show, and like I said, not everything we've even said here will happen. We just know these characters' names from the comics.
Yeah.
And whoever I mentioned, I already forgot his name. His name is mentioned in the credits.
The villain. Yeah, the power broker.
Power broker is mentioned in the credits, which could be a complete misdirect, like the Reaper fucking helmet we see full on in a WandaVision opening credit sequence. But
or it could be, instead of Flag Smashers, they're the power broker. You know,
I mean, he could be behind the Flag Smashers. Superhero serum. That's all he needs to be.
Yep. That to me is the only
who's selling it to them and to the U.S. government.
Right. Most likely.
Yep.
That to me is probably the biggest mystery that we're gonna have, and the only whiteboarding we might do is if we do indeed get a Skrull mentioned here, or not mentioned, or but seen in this show, then we'll have to break out a whiteboard. But until then, I think we're
the
we're
Charlie
set.
Meme.
I think we're good.
All right, where can the people find you, Kyle?
On LR Mornings every Monday through Friday, mostly as long as someone's there to record with me. At that Kyle Malone on Twitter, at that one Kyle Malone on Instagram. That's number one.
And I'm at Geeky Nick Doll on Twitter. And I do this show with Kyle every Monday. There's Marvel for everyone forever. Yay. And I do Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, every Friday.
What's going to happen with... Oh, sorry.
What's going to happen with what?
Finish your plug. Sorry. Go ahead.
That's my plug. I'm done.
what's going to happen with Black Widow, Nick? Are they going to premiere access it? Are they going to theater only it? Are they going to move
it? They'll decide the last week. I don't know what they're going to do, but I'll see it either way.
It doesn't matter to me. Theaters, please, God. Even if you premiere access it, I've got a theater that is
They might as well do both. I don't know why they haven't been doing both.
I don't know.
Like Warner Brothers. I would buy it at home, unless I have the vaccine. But okay.
Let's get out of here.
And enough said.
No, you did it backwards.
No, I mean Excelsior.
There you go.
True believers.
Enough said. No, there you go.
There we go. Bye.